What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Adam Smith, President, Exploration Place, Wichita. Welcome to Issues 2024, Adam. Nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
This has been, as I understand it, a good year for attendance at Exploration Place. Can you share some numbers with us this morning?
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I talked when I first came to Wichita. And, you know, at that time, you're brand new, and I was looking ahead and thinking about the things that we wanted to do. And probably didn't predict a pandemic, but we got ourselves through that. And we've come out on the other side actually doing really well as an organization. I couldn't be happier with the response of the Wichita community to the change we've made in our programming at Exploration Place and all the different things we've been trying to do. And we actually, our fiscal year runs from July 1 to June 30th, and we just completed what was by a long way the best year we've ever had at Exploration Place, not just in terms of attendance, which topped 400,000 for the first time since we opened, but lots of other aspects of our business. The membership numbers were a record high. We've got more people going into the Dome Theater than ever before. Camps are sold out. Never rest on your laurels, but sometimes it's nice just to celebrate a little bit. We had a great year, and the cool thing for me is that I know the best is yet to come. We've got some really incredible improvements and developments coming up in the future.
But we look at those numbers, over 400,000. My goodness, how does that rank the museum in comparison to other visitor destinations in Kansas? Do you have that information?
Well, we are number two in Kansas. Number one is Sedgwick County Zoo. And, you know, they do a fantastic job. I think everyone knows the zoo and how important they are. We're in second place. A lot of my personal benchmarking is, like, against other science museums, like, you know, other places like ours. So it might interest you and your listeners to know that where we're at with Exploration Place now is we are equal to and marginally beating Science City in Kansas City, which is a great museum. And they've got three or four times the population base to draw from as Exploration Place. So to be, you know, right there with them in terms of the number of people that are showing up, that's something, certainly something I remind my own team of. Another one, the St. Louis Science Center, really similar mission to ours. They've got a dome theater just like us, but they've got 2.8 million people in their local metro area, and we're real close to their attendance last year was 525,000, ours was 409. So we're getting really close, even to like really major science centers.
And what's behind all this growth? Is it just because Adam Smith came to town? Is that the only reason?
No. In fact, if I want to, you know, say that I've achieved anything, it's just really to have the pleasure of working with an amazing group of people that I've got around me. And when I say around me, I'll start with my board. I think I'm sort of reaching the end of my career. I'm 52 years old and, you know, got a few years left in me. But when I look back on 30 years of working in museums, one of the big conclusions that I draw on my life's experience is that your governing board, your board of trustees that oversees the organization is absolutely fundamental to what you're able to accomplish as an organization. And I will also say no question, this is the best board that I've ever worked with. And that's not a coincidence that our performance is some of the best that I've had the pleasure of having in my career too, because we've got like alignment between what the board is looking for me and my staff to do and what, the place of exploration plays in the community. I think I felt that right when I first started interviewing for the job, you know, that there was just what I felt needed to be done with exploration plays seemed to match what the board felt needed to be done, seemed to match what the community was asking for. So real fundamentals, that's so strong. And by the way, I should mention that my board, they put a tremendous amount of work in, you know, basically volunteered for this community. Not the work that goes into, they don't just show up to a monthly board meeting. It's actually, you know, we have 9 committees that meet very regularly, and the committees do a lot of work on lots of different aspects of what it takes to be successful. And I'm really sort of humbled to get so much support. So when you mention my name, I'm the figurehead for the organization, but you know, the board's amazing, and also my staff has really done amazing work too. I inherited a good group. I think we've been able to recruit some talented people as well. So when you've got that sort of alignment all the way from the board through leadership through the staff, that's when really cool things start to happen.
How is Exploration Place funded, Adam?
We're what's called a public-private partnership. So there is some public money comes into Exploration Place. The buildings are owned by Sedgwick County, and the county, you might be interested to know, never spent a penny on maintaining the buildings. That's entirely Exploration Place's responsibility. But we do receive about 30% of our annual operating budget from Sedgwick County. The other 70% we either earn through admissions and program fees and snack bar and gift shop and all those revenue sources, or from fundraising. And about $1 million a year is raised from people that believe in Exploration Place in our community to the extent and make a philanthropic contribution to help keep the mission going. And this last year we've been in particularly interesting place, because as well as operating Exploration Place, the regular business, the regular visitor attraction, we've also been working on a capital campaign. So we've been trying to raise additional funds to invest in a pretty big expansion of our scope and footprint. We've now broken ground on that expansion. So over the next 15 months, there's going to be a lot of construction, but a lot of exciting things coming down the pike.
Tell us about the EP2 initiative. Is that what you were just speaking of, the EP2?
Yeah, that's absolutely, yeah. When we did a strategic plan, that it was literally during the worst of the pandemic. There were 106 days when Exploration Place was closed, so we couldn't even open. But we tried to use that time productively, and one of the things we did, we did a big listening exercise, and we sent a survey to 10,000 people in the local community, got some really high-quality feedback from regular citizens and members and users of Exploration Place. But we also did one-on-one interviews with 58 leaders in our community, educational leaders, political leaders, philanthropists, business leaders. The big theme that came out of that whole listening exercise was it was very consistent that when we asked people what they saw as an opportunity at Exploration Place, they talked about the outdoor spaces. A lot of what's happened at EP over the years has been all about the buildings and what happens inside them, but we actually occupy 20 acres of really prime riverfront land. And So this whole concept of EP2, which is sort of like, you know, the second phase of what Exploration Place is as an organization, it's all about embracing those 20 acres and what they can bring to the organization and to the community. And the plan eventually unfolded into two phases. The first will open actually next month. We're building an amphitheater on the north side of Exploration Place. So if you know the building, it's on the side that's closest to the Keeper of the Plains. We're actually just wrapping up the construction. The landscaping is the last thing that's going into place, and we're just starting on that. That will open at the Drone Light Festival third week in September. The whole idea behind the amphitheater is to have a really interesting performance space by the river, highly influenced by that beautiful view over to the Keeper of the Plains. It's going to look amazing at night when the flames go off on the Keeper. So a place we can have concerts and performance and free movie nights and things like that. But that's a fairly small first phase. By the way, I should give a big shout out to the Wichita Foundation, because they are the name sponsors of the amphitheater. It's going to be called the Wichita Foundation Amphitheater, and we really appreciate their investment in the project and in what it will bring to the community. But a big development we broke ground on a couple of months ago is on the south side of the property. We've got 6.5 acres there, and we're investing more than $20 million in what we're calling a destination playscape. This is an idea that it's been catching hold in other cities, and wherever it's been done, it's been spectacularly successful. It's the idea that a playground could be done on such an epic scale that it's actually a tourism destination unto itself. The nearest examples that I can call out in our local market or our regional market are the Gathering Place down at Tulsa and the Riverfront project they did up in Omaha, Nebraska. Both of those are really high-quality play environments that a family would travel to and visit, not just for a couple of hours in the afternoon or whatever, but would actually go and spend all weekend there and not explore every corner of it. So we got onto that vision, that idea, about 3 years ago, and we've gone through the whole process. We've recruited what we believe are the best play designers and manufacturers in the world. We've got world-class landscape architects on this project. We've raised about $22 million, and by the late fall of next year, that will open. It'll really kick into high gear in 2026, and we think that's going to be a huge quality of life amenity for the people that live here in Wichita, but also genuinely a thing that we will see families traveling in from hundreds of miles away, because it's going to be that good that they'll know about it and they'll want to come and check it out.
You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Adam Smith, President, Exploration Place, Wichita. Adam, you mentioned a word a while ago, and it occurred to me that have you been doing, or you, I say, Exploration Place, been doing some interesting things with drones? I've heard that you're doing some drone work. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think, like, in general, I think we live in really incredible times, that some of the things that are going on, particularly at the intersection of technology and science and what it means to the human race, we feel that part of our job as an organization is to help keep our community educated about what's going on in the world and also so that Wichita can grab the opportunities that are going to come out of that. If you think about the history of Wichita, a few far-sighted people in the early 1920s grabbed the opportunity of aviation. You know, that in 1921-22, when the first manufacturing was being set up in Wichita for aviation, it was just a dream. You know, I think people knew it was probably going to be something, but you know, that planted the seeds that transformed the city and really I think ultimately did a lot of good economically, and I think there are opportunities like that now, and you know, drones is one of them. That we're still in the early stages of a revolution in what drones are going to mean. Not just, I mean, right now they're an interesting camera platform, you know, surveillance platform. People are starting to realize that, you know, they might deliver Amazon packages or whatever. And Ukraine, we're seeing that they're massively influential on how future wars are going to be fought. I think probably the biggest actual impact of drones is going to be on agriculture, and which is the number one industry in the state of Kansas in terms of helping our farming community with their valuable work in terms of growing and monitoring crops and pest control, et cetera, et cetera. So what that means for exploration places, okay, we're interested in drones and we feel like we need to be part of the conversation somehow. And what we find is this drone light festival that we do, which is just another dimension of drones. They're the fireworks of the future. I don't know if you've seen one of these drone shows, but the ability to paint pictures in the sky with hundreds of drones flying in close formation to one another. We did the first one in 2022. We had 200 drones, and people really enjoyed that. Last year, we were able to up the number to 300, and they were a lot brighter. And basically, we had a sold-out event, and we knew coming off the show last year, we had something that was going to be a signature event for Exploration Place for a long time. So I think it's kind of like entertaining, but it's also fulfilling our mission. It's sort of educating people about what's possible.
I'm going to have to see one of those. Now you have, let's talk about a couple of special exhibits in the months ahead. I'd like to talk about that for just a second here. Tell us about DC Superheroes. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's the exhibit that's currently on at Exploration Place. If you walk into the building right now, there's like a giant Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman diorama that greets you. And as you and your listeners probably know, but in case you don't, I'll just go over the basic structure. We have permanent exhibit galleries at Exploration Place, but three times a year we bring a major traveling exhibit in. So we've taken this one. I think it came from Children's Museum of Indianapolis, and they did a really nice job of taking the interest that kids have in superheroes and comics and sort of translating that into science learning. The exhibit's kind of like a giant escape room. You solve a bunch of individual problems through different individual exhibits, but it's all in the context of you're sort of solving this overall problem. And so that one's gone down really well. It's been very well received, and you know, it's always nice when we've got something that's associated with like a household name, like those famous superheroes.
What about Toytopia? What's Toytopia?
Yeah, this one, it's actually, we've been doing temporary exhibits for a long time. I think we're into the 60s now. I think the superheroes exhibit is maybe the 64th traveling exhibit we've brought to Exploration Place. Toytopia is actually the first one that we ever brought back because it was so popular the first time it was with us about 6 or 7 years ago that we just thought, hey, look, there's no law says we can't bring one back for a second run. This one is one that I think it was popular because it works for both kids and adults, in the sense that for the adults, there's a lot of nostalgia in it. It's basically supersized versions of classic toys. So if you imagine an Etch-a-Sketch, but it is literally in the Guinness Book of World Records, the largest Etch-a-Sketch ever made. Okay. With giant buttons that you can, you know, that's the whole sort of theme of the exhibit is taking classic games and supersizing them. So you know, you can, there's a photo op, you can sit in the Monopoly car, you know, rather than it being a tiny gaming piece. And so that's what Toytopia is all about. And we felt it was a really good fit with the kind of, it'll be with us during holiday season, and it's a good fit with the vibe of that whole, the whole time of year, I think.
Adam, is just about everything hands-on as far as your exhibits are concerned?
Yeah, I think that is not just Exploration Place, but any science and technology center. It's a different kind of museum. It's not about coming to look at things, you know, yeah, artwork on a wall or historic artifacts and cases. I've got nothing against them. I've spent a lot of my time working in organizations like that. But the Exploration Place is all about getting your hands on, because there's a sort of a different, it's a different way of learning when you're using your hands and when you're using your mind and sort of learning by literally by doing something. And actually, my idealized exhibit at Exploration Place is that you're not just doing it on your own. The best exhibits are where the whole family is getting engaged in the activity and working together on something. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing because they are very compelling exhibits, and it drives our attendance. It's a curse in the sense that I've got currently 203 hands-on interactives at Exploration Place, and keeping on top of the maintenance of them is a pretty big challenge for us, because especially when 409,000 people come and, you know, things break. And it might interest you and your listeners to know that we monitor that very closely, because nothing frustrates a visitor to a science museum more than feeling that the exhibits are broken. And we have a benchmark that of 95%. It's almost impossible when you've got 203, you know, mechanical kind of exhibits that they can all be functioning perfectly at the same time. But we hold ourselves every week on a Tuesday. We did it yesterday. We did, you know, we do a weekly inspection, and we literally measure what's broken, what's not. That helps set our priorities for repair, but it also helps helps, you know, us to be assured that we're meeting the standard that we want to work to.
Do you like to use still use Exploration Place as a venue? We had our high school class reunion there several years ago, and it was just dynamite. Do you still do stuff like that?
Yeah, we do. We have a member of staff that will happily talk to anyone about renting the facilities. We do a bunch of weddings, proms, corporate events. You know, that stuff regularly takes place. We do a lot. We've seen a lot of growth in birthday parties over the past few years. We created a new space for them about 3 years ago, and that's been very heavily used. I think when the amphitheater opens, it's going to give us a new dimension. We're going to have a really interesting outdoor venue, and I people will get married there, I guarantee it, because it's all designed to exploit this incredible view across the river. So yeah, we do a bunch of things like that.
You use a lot of volunteers other than the you talked about the board, but other volunteers, do you use people like that?
Yeah, we do. And I want to mention, it's been a particular focus of mine to build volunteer participation at Exploration Place. I feel like, again, if I reflect on the journey of my own life in museums, that volunteers really enrich an organization like ours. They don't just bring help, which we could always use. They bring sort of like a culture that's very valuable.
Our guest, Adam Smith.
Yeah, well, as you realize, I'll talk all day if you let me.
All right. Our guest, Adam Smith, President, Exploration Place, Wichita. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.